Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join us as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of the internet and you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Right after our brief monologue, we're going to invite you to dial that number. The telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is called the Truth Book. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about, what is this election about? What's this election about? Midterm election. Got about 30 days. What's it about? And the second part of that issue, should Christians vote? Should Christians vote? Ponder that for a moment. Should believers, those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, should we be involved in the political process of voting? In the 2022 election, according to David Barton with Wall Builders, David Barton said over 40 million Christians did not vote in the 2020 election. Very serious conversation today. And I pray that it will motivate you to go to the polls and vote. And Tuesday the 11th, next Tuesday, is the last day for registering to vote. If you've not registered, do so before the 11th of October. And then vote. I don't care if it's rain, sleet, or snow. On the day of election, vote. Early voting starts relatively soon after the end of the registration to vote in the state of Florida. We'll be talking about the pros and the cons. This broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps is the most vital broadcast, the most intriguing, interesting, informational broadcast in relationship to voting and why Christians should vote. We're going to be looking at, on today's broadcast, the comparison and the contrast of the Democratic Party and their platform and the Republican Party and their platform on issues that are central Biblicist issue. This should cause us to determine how we're going to vote and why we cast our vote the way we do. And as we do so, let me remind you, we should be observant, understanding, and in harmony with what the Word of God says. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, he made this statement, "If you continue in my word," and he's speaking to his disciples, "if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." That is evidence of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to continue to stay constantly being the Word of God. And the text goes on to say, "And you shall know the truth." As we continue in the Word, as we stay in the Word, we'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further declaratory statement is made in John 17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." It doesn't get old. It doesn't get out of date. It is not to be modified, not to be changed. It is simply the truth of the Lord endures forever. There's nothing else that we could count on and look at and understand as being forever. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought after today. In fact, truth is laughed at, mocked at, demeaned, dissed, and rejected in the society in which we're living in today. This is the reason the issues that we'll discuss on today's show should be heard by everyone tuned in. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're concerned about how your friend, relative, or neighbor might vote, let me suggest that even now, pick up the telephone, call your friend, relative, or neighbor, tell them to tune in to this broadcast. It's going to make some mad and some glad, understand that. But the fact is, we need to recognize what is at stake in this election. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's what we're finding today in the culture in which we're living. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I challenge you with that statement each and every broadcast. It is vital. It is necessary. It is of the utmost importance that we do so, especially now, especially in this era, especially in the woke cancel culture mindset that we're living in. We need to stick to the Word of God and be willing to stand for truth and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark to help you find Tools for Time, 165-foot flagpole at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24-7. Find the flag and the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a family-friendly oriented environment for you to work. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing its staff, all of the employees, to be off on Sunday to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an opportunity for an interview. See what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a urgent scenario today. I can't emphasize it enough. The decision that we make, the decision that America makes on November the 8th in this midterm election, this decision on November the 8th, ladies and gentlemen, will make the determination for the United States of America if we're going to go into socialism. By the way, socialism is simply communism light, L-I-T-E. So the vote on November the 8th will determine if America will plunge into socialism or if we're going to try to do a reset into the constitutional republic that we have been so blessed with for all of these centuries. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you today that America will have the opportunity to determine the trajectory. It will have the opportunity to determine the nation, the direction that our nation will take on November the 8th. And again, let me remind you, the last day for registration to vote, you cannot vote November the 8th in this midterm election unless you're registered to vote by October the 11th. That's the cutoff date. So let me remind you to vote. But let me also say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep in mind, God has a plan. God has a marvelous, wonderful plan for election. And I've called it for years and years and years, God's election guide. And the scripture says in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of faith, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. Ladies and gentlemen, I have simply preached that and taught that for many, many years on the basis that we're looking at God's standards for leaders. We're looking at God's election guide. And let me just go over this before we get into the nuts and bolts of the comparison and contrast of the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party called the Democrats and the Republicans. By the way, don't you dare let me cause you to understand and think that somehow, some way, the Republican Party is made up of moral, ethical, genuine, true believers are those that we should idolize. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I have great ire when it comes to what the Republicans have done and what they had the opportunity to do when Donald J. Trump was president for 2 years, 2017 and 2018. President Trump, we had the Republicans had the Oval Office, had the Senate and the House. They squandered it because people like Paul Ryan and others, including Mitch McConnell, did not want what President Trump had wanted to accomplish and committed that he would do. They literally tied his hands and, for the most part, undermined his plan and projection for America. And as a result of that, we have been plummeted into darkness in the society in which we're living with the squanderer, flanderer, whatever you want to call him, Sleepy Joe Biden, that's destroying the Constitutional Republic. But the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, it sets it aside that we ought to find those that have the capability. The Bible says able men. Able men simply mean those that have capability and competence to carry out the task. Joe Biden doesn't have either of those, capability or competence. And multitudes today that's at the helm in the United States House of Representatives and multitudes of those in the Senate do not meet that qualification. But let me then go further, according to the text in Exodus 18 and 21. Not only that candidate must have good capability, but he must have godly convictions. Godly convictions. The scripture says such as fear God. Word fear, that means to have awe, reverence, honorability, submission, reverence for God, respect for God. And we've got an entire party called the Democratic Party does not have respect for God. Let me just put a little parenthetical footnote on that. If the Democratic Party had respect for God, they would honor the human being in the mother's womb. Nevertheless, they want to murder every human being in the mother's womb. In fact, Joe Biden has an absolute focus on transgenderism and abortion, murder by way of abortion, more than anything else he's wanting to accomplish in his presidency. But this scripture goes on with God's election guide. He must have good character. Men of truth, the scripture says. That means people that have reputation, that are reliable, that will speak the truth. And thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, not only do we find that, but he must have godly control. Hating covetousness, that is not grasping, not greedy, not trying to get a dollar or two as a result of what he is doing in relationship to his political office. So that sets the standard, I believe, for the balance of what we're going to say on this broadcast today. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, I'm delighted to have Pastor Davis with us. I'm thankful for his insight, for his wisdom, thankful for his life and his walk for the Lord. I'm thankful for his comments and his willingness to stand for truth. Pastor Davis, thank you for being with us today. Looking forward to what God's going to say through us that prayerfully will challenge our listeners to vote and to vote aright on November the 8th.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. First, I do give honor to God the Father, who's the head of my life, and the Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I do, amen, want to say good morning to all my family and friends. My bride of 36 years, love you so much. Amen. Every one of you that have tuned in this morning, Dr. Youngblood, as you have so gracefully laid out before all of our listeners this morning, let me advise you first by saying I could remember one of my teachers in high school that used to tell us all the time that a hint to the wise is sufficient.
Amen.
Just a hint. Now, that didn't mean that you had to read a whole paragraph.
That's right.
But if you just got a hint and you were a wise person, that could be sufficient, especially if you use it in the right way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, everything that you have laid out this morning is very important for every believer on today, especially believers. This is who we are speaking to. We're speaking to everyone,
Amen.
But most especially those who are believers in Christ Jesus.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it is disappointing to know, Dr. Youngblood, I forget that number that you told me this
Over
morning.
Over 40 million.
Amen. Christians that did not vote on last year.
That's right.
Yet when things start to happen that don't seem to be going their way, they're the main one complaining.
You got it.
So you don't have a reason to complain if you didn't vote.
It's almost like a Christian that doesn't go to church, church closes, and then they complain, why did the church close?
Amen.
Because you stopped coming, because you stopped giving, because you stopped supporting it.
Amen.
And the same thing is true when it comes into the political arena. And, Pastor, one of the things that may be chafing some today as we say this, there are many Christians that think somehow, some way, that if you vote, you're part of the political system, and that God forbid that Christians participate in that ungodly, unholy, sorry, dirty process called politics. That's simply not in sense of what the Scripture says. It's not in harmony with what the Scripture says.
Amen.
We can go back to all of the Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, with all of the key, if you please, biblical characters that we've known for all of our lives, and you find that they were involved in the political process.
Amen.
God has given us, we're citizens in this world, and we're citizens in heaven.
Amen.
But in those dual citizenship, we need to honor God in what we do.
Amen. And then, Dr. Youngblood, the other important elements that every believer needs to know, besides voting, first, you need to pray for those
yes.
who are in authority.
That's
what the Scripture tells us.
That's right.
Now, I don't care how much you didn't like Trump. We're not debating that
That's
today.
Right.
We're not trying to cast a dark shadow upon anyone.
Mm-hmm. I'll forgive them.
Amen. Amen. But that's what we need to do.
That's
Listen,
right.
if we have not prayed for those individuals, no matter how ruthless they may seem to be, then you're not doing your job as a Christian. Mm-hmm. If you didn't pray, because prayer, we say, changes things.
That's right.
So we need to know and understand some of the most important things that we need to do as Christians. The very first thing is pray. Mm-hmm. Next, validate the people who are on that party platform.
Right.
And know who it is that you are voting for or who you want to vote for and what platform you want to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone, I don't care what platform they're on, if they're going against the word of God, you as a Christian cannot rightfully vote for them.
Absolutely.
So it's important for us to know where they stand before we cast a vote, because a whole lot of times we can vote with our head, and I don't mean through wisdom or through being full of knowledge. We can vote with the head. In other words, when people put things in our head about how we should do things, you know, we can be swayed
That's right.
by things like
Unfortunately,
that.
Unfortunately, that's true, yes.
And not our hearts, mm-hmm. which is the place where God lives.
And not based on wisdom.
Amen.
And, Pastor, one of the things that I am thinking of when we talk about this subject today, the number of people that will sit at home and simply say, well, I'm going to let others do that. And we'll talk about this further in the broadcast. One of the problems is what happens in the pulpit, what is taking place. In fact, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council says, when churches depart from or refuse to teach biblical truth, the consequences can be far-reaching. What the pulpit prioritizes, the people will pursue. If the pulpits are silent on an issue because they do not want the cultural pushback, the social media storm, or the hateful things said about them, then why do you expect the political leaders to do it? What Tony Perkins said is that there's silence in the pulpit on the political issues. And as a result of that, the people are not going to pursue what is not proclaimed from the pulpits.
Amen.
And as a result of that, we have multitudes today that are Christians, professing Christians. They're in churches where there is silence in the pulpit. Never will forget, just a few years ago, in fact, it was back in the 2020 election cycle, I had someone that asked me, said, Pastor, what do you do when your pastor, they were in another church, what do you do when the pastor of the church will not talk about politics, will not talk about the candidates, will not encourage us to vote, will not even act as though there's an election taking place? I said very quickly and very succinctly, find you another church.
Amen.
Because we're in a position today, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford as a nation to continue to go down the pathway that we're going down.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, let me throw this in there just a little bit more food for thought. Mm-hmm. This president, every time we hear him speak, his words mean something.
That's right.
Now, we as Christians need to weigh those words
carefully
under the microscope of God.
That's right.
We need to look through God's eyes and have that vision that God has. When it comes down to trying to decide about matters that can affect every area of our lives. Mm-hmm. Now, I listened to him on last night and this morning when he wants to now release all the people that have violated federal marijuana laws.
Yes.
Where? I mean, how could he ever come to that decision?
We see one of the major charges, according to our Constitution, for the president is to uphold the law of the land.
Amen. So
whatever the law says, he can't pick and choose and say, I'm not going to uphold it. But that's what he's been doing for the 2 years he's been in office.
Amen. So now when we see individuals, not only just him, but everyone else, that are lining up behind making laws or trying to back laws that's going to release lawbreakers,
right,
criminals. Mm-hmm. I told my wife this morning, I said, listen, I guess the next thing he's going to do is do like they did when Pilate gave him a chance to pick between Barabbas and Jesus. Mm-hmm. They're going to release the murderer.
That's right. Oh, they're doing it now.
And I'm expecting for that to happen next. If he's done this, there's no telling what else he might not do.
Well, you know, AOC said just very recently that she thinks that all prisons need to be closed because it's cruel and unusual punishment to put somebody in jail.
Amen.
I think they need to release them, turn them out on the block where she lives, and see what she thinks then.
Amen.
But somehow there's the mindset. And, Pastor, here's one of the things that I want our listeners to fathom and understand. There are a lot of people today that are bounding about which party should I vote for. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I could care less about party distinctives and names, but I am vitally concerned about the party political agenda and where they stand on issues that are central biblicist issues. But there are a lot of people that say, well, should I vote for the Democrats? Well, I've used the term the Socialist Marxist Communist BLM Democratic Party, although it may appear sometimes inconsequential. But may I say to us today, the decision that you make on the election this year, the decision that we as citizens in America make, the casting of our vote on November the 8th and even before that in the early voting stages, may I say, ladies and gentlemen, that vote needs to be cast based on God's word, based in accordance with the authority of the scripture. And may I say to you today, please, please, please know that the vote for any Democratic candidate based on where they stand, based on their political agenda, based on their nonchalant flaunting of God's word and God's people, may I say to you, that is a vote for a multitude of things that are antithetical to the scripture. And
amen.
Pastor, I want to talk about those in a moment. I want to just go through a whole litany of what happens if you cast a vote for a Democrat in the Democratic Party. Let me read again. I'm looking at an article that says, midterm elections will determine the nation's path. It is major quotes from Tony Perkins. This article says, for example, in a recent Decision interview, that's Decision Magazine, Tony Perkins, who has spent nearly 20 years in Washington as president of the Family Research Council, says this, quote, with the nation becoming more polarized and divided, each election grows in its importance because we have found that we have two very opposite views of the direction that America should be going. We've seen that contrast in the last 2 years, and the outcome of this election will determine if we continue on the path or if we are going to be able to at least push the pause button and allow Americans to reassess this direction, such as transgender ideology being pushed on our children today, and the federal government being focused on trying to get abortions to women in states that have embraced pro-life laws. There's a lot at stake in this midterm election. He goes further in stating, whatever the result, it seems clear that the nation is at a crossroad on key moral, ethical, and biblical issues. In June, as President Joe Biden signed an executive order on advancing LGBTQIP plus individuals, he remarked, we're in a battle for the soul of a nation. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if it was out of sheer ignorance, stupidity, or incompetence that he made that statement, but he is exactly right on
Amen.
That statement.
Amen.
Pastor, we're in a battle
Amen.
For the soul of America.
Amen.
We're in a battle for the future of our nation. We're in a battle for the destiny of our nation. We're in a battle for the life and the hearts and the minds and the being of our children, our grandkids in America today. We're in a battle for the life of the church today. We're in a battle for the faith, family, and the freedom in America today.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, I'm glad that that came up, because that was one of the next areas I wanted to go to, because I've heard that come out of this president's mouth more than one time.
Yes.
This is a battle for the soul of this nation. That shakes me.
That's right.
Because I don't think he's saying that just to be saying it, because it also has spiritual implications mm-hmm. when it comes down to the believers.
Right.
That's why we are here today trying to get this message out, to let you know it is a spiritual battle.
Yes.
As well mm-hmm. as a battle on the grounds of the political.
That's right.
So we need to pay very important attention to the words that these people are speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, I mean, key thing that get my attention every time, because he started talking about Putin and Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
When you say these kind of things like this, you will get my attention every time.
That's right.
Because you're making me think that this is the direction that you want this to go now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to realize that's not in your control. That's not your
right.
call.
That's right.
Because that's going to happen on God's calendar. That's not according to the way that you want it. No matter how you try to speed it up and hasten it, you don't have any control over that. You can do some things to cause some damage to make people think that that's getting ready to happen, mm-hmm. but God is yet in control, and I'm thankful for that.
And at the same time, here's another vantage point of that same statement. You're correct. But at the same time, he doesn't realize the puppet that he is for Barack Obama and for the globalist. He is also being used of God to make that prophetic statement, because
Amen.
That's exactly what
Amen.
We see taking place.
Amen.
We see the battle for the soul of. In fact, I'm looking at a headline here. Memo to Christians. Here's what's really at stake in the midterm elections. Horrified by what has been called this Sovietization, that is the Soviet Union, the Sovietization of the Biden administration, including the shocking criminalization of dissent and the weaponization of the FBI. Whose agents daily intimidate and prosecute the regime's political opponents. Tens of millions of Americans anxiously wonder whether the November midterm elections will bring any positive change or the direction once the great nation was taking, or will we continue to careen toward total destruction? And that's a very clear statement that I believe we need to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the November the 8th election. We're about 30 days away from it. In fact, I am challenging you, encouraging you to prayerfully understand that as Christians, we can't not vote. We must vote. Right after the top of the hour, we're going to give a whole litany of the contrast and comparison between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the platforms that they take. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.